Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to the special edition Football Garbage Time Podcast, NFL Divisional Playoff Preview Edition. My name is Hajun Wong, I'm the editor-in-chief of FootballGarbageTime.com, and as usual with me today is senior staff writer Ryan Whitfield. So Ryan, how are you doing today?
Doing quite well. How about yourself?
Not too bad, and you know, I'm sure you saw the big news of the day. Charlie Whitehurst, clipboard Jesus himself, backup quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, is now dating pop, folk, and country celebrity Jewel. How do you feel about that, Ryan?
You know, I don't think I've seen what Jewel looks like in about 5 years or longer.
You know, probably longer.
She was definitely one of my first big celebrity crushes. So hats off to him. He's a C-list celeb, and he's getting together with somebody who once was A-list and who was, you get a voice like that, you're okay by me, so.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, she comes from Alaska, which, as you might or might not know, is only 10% women. So if he caught the one attractive woman out of Alaska, that's pretty darn good, I'd say. He did a pretty good job for himself. Anyway, before we get started, as per usual, I wanted to give a shout out to Wally and Ray of Urban Sports Scene in the DMV, and of course, our condolences as their Washington Redskins lost this week, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But they've been going head to head with us in NFL picks, and they tied us in the wild card week, 3-1. So we're now completely tied up at 2-2-2. We'll continue going heads up with them into the playoffs. So keep checking them out on podbeat.com. Give them a listen. They're great. They're actually on tonight at 8 p.m. Okay, so on to our main topic of the day, and the NFL playoffs. So the first thing I want to talk about, Ryan, is the one takeaway. There's a lot of stuff that happened during the wild card weekend. Tell me, what's your one takeaway that you kind of popped out at you over the wild card weekend?
Oh man, I wanted to take this and go analyze somebody who got through and kind of think about what that meant as the landscape of the NFL, but I don't know how I can talk about it besides the Cincinnati Bengals. And what an epic.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. So where to start? What do you want to talk about with the Bengals? Jeez, they are such a disaster.
Let me throw out one caveat that it isn't getting talked about enough, and it has frustrated me for a while here. The Pittsburgh Steelers, and maybe in due time the Patriots scandals will fade away too, but people forget that the Pittsburgh Steelers had the steroids throughout the 70s before steroids were really acceptable in the NFL. That was a cheating franchise. You got Tomlin taking out Jacoby Jones a couple years ago. You got Munchak pulling braids on the sideline in this game. And then you got Joey Porter out there. Not Jerry Porter, Joey Porter, although, I don't think that Pac-Man Jones knows the difference. But, there has to be a stricter punishment for that. I mean, not to always bring it back to the Patriots, but the deflated footballs is such a minor thing that we haven't even proven has an impact on the field. Yet you got a coach out there in the middle of it. With that said, Marvin Lewis, I don't know how he still has a job today. You're 0-7, and the one thing that he had this on monitors in the locker room last week, telling them it was a Paul Brown quote, and I'm blanking on it now, but basically all week he was trying to drill into them discipline. Don't let this game get away from you. And you have the game won,
right,
and you have a meltdown. You have a cheap shot from Burfict, because it was a cheap shot. I don't care if he tried to turn his shoulder at the last second or not. He initially was going in there trying to headhunt. And then the Pac-Man Jones thing, again, I give him a little more leeway because Joey Porter should never have been on the field. Still, you got to keep your composure there. And then the other one that people aren't talking about enough, Vontaze Burfict. When he makes that interception, he was touchdown, but you can't tell me with as light as he was touchdown that he really knew that for sure he had been touchdown. And he gets up and runs the opposite way. They all run into the end zone. And that would have been
and out
so
of the stadium.
Right. It'd have been so Bengals had they had that actually counted as a safety, had he not been touched.
That would be great.
And I was praying
would've
for
loved it.
So, it's one of those things. You get the patients or the lunatics running the asylum. There's no control there. And as they're melting down and that's all happening, Marvin Lewis is just sitting there with his arms folded like nothing's happening because there's no sense of urgency in that franchise. You know, from owner down, they don't care, and they're just they're happy to bring in the bad guys and be talented enough they can get some revenue in the postseason. But at the end of the day, they're not a committed to winning franchise, and that was never more on display than it was the other night.
Yeah, so nothing says class more, though, to me, than Pac-Man Jones getting on the radio the next morning and accusing Antonio Brown of flopping, which I thought was hysterical. I mean, had he seen the video? And then saying, which I think is just perfect, that he should have gotten a Grammy for it, which clearly demonstrates to me that Jones has no idea what a Grammy is. Unless Brown broke out in the song as he fell down. I don't know. I didn't see it, but, you know.
He doesn't know who Gary Porter is, so.
Right. So I'm glad you brought that up, because that's the one thing that kind of stuck out with me too. There are a lot of other things too, like the Blair Walsh field goal miss and all this other stuff, but that one really stuck out as just a complete meltdown. And I think that Lewis is to blame for a lot of that as well. So let's move on to the bulk of our discussion today, and that's the NFL divisional round playoffs. Let's start with Kansas City Chiefs at the New England Patriots coming up 4:35 p.m. Eastern time this Saturday. New England is favored by 5. Your favorite team on the line here, and a little bit of a battered Chiefs coming in to Foxborough. So tell us, what are your keys of the game?
You know, I think it's going to – well, first of all, it's a four-day forecast out right now, but, there is a little bit of inclement weather forecasted right now, a nor'easter, a 30 to 40-mile-per-hour winds and snow Saturday. So,
wow.
Well, that'll definitely have an impact, although traditionally not on the Patriots, because Brady actually plays better in the snow than anywhere else. But,
no, they play great in the snow.
But I would say – I'm going to run it down quickly. I would say on – on the Chiefs side, I'll start on the Chiefs. What's going to be important, and I think a lot of teams get this wrong, to beat the Patriots in Foxborough, you can't come in defeated. And I don't just mean leaving the buses warmed up like a lot of teams do, but you can't come in here and expect to trade field goals and win. This Patriot offense is going to be healthy for the first time since Week 10. They're going to be better. They're going to be more dynamic. With that said, the Chiefs can't go down and settle for 3. You have to take your shot. And I think, as much as I hate John Harbaugh, he's someone who's understood that better than anybody else. Look back to the divisional round last year. You know, 4th-and-1 in the third quarter in that game, and he's throwing, having Flacco drop back and throw 40 yards into the end zone. And that's how you have to play. You have to play aggressive. So we'll see if they do that. If they keep trying their little read option, their little sweeps, it's not going to work, especially with Macklin hurt. Because with Macklin hurt, you can pretty much now just put Malcolm Butler on him and take him out of the game, which means you can double up on Kelsey. You can bring Patrick Chung, who's had a great year covering tight ends, and you can put McCourty over the top, Logan Ryan on Wilson, and then you have Hightower up there looking for the run. And you have Collins spying Alex Smith and keeping him in the pocket. And, once they're doing that, the Chiefs are going to be pretty shut down. So the Chiefs are going to have to take some shots and be aggressive. The Chiefs are going to have to win this game on defense. They're going to have to get after Brady. They're going to have to – they need to come up and they need to play. They need to use their big physical players. This is a Flowers game here. He's going to come up and play real aggressive in a pinch at the line, because with Edelman back and Amendola healthy, that allows the Patriots to throw the ball short and Brady to get that ball out in 2.25 seconds. They need to disrupt routes and make sure that Brady has to pat that for 3 or 4 seconds, because if he has to do that, that offensive line can't block that defensive line. So, that's going to be my keys to the game. Fearless on offense, and they got to play tough and aggressive on defense too.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And just to follow up on what you said, Jeremy Maclin suffering from a high ankle sprain. He hasn't practiced yet. Andy Reid seems to think that he will, because it's mild and he's trending in the right direction. We'll see. It's going to be a disaster if they can't get Maclin on the field, even as a decoy. They'll at least have to get him out there for that purpose. The Chiefs have the third least passing yards in the NFL, even with Macklin. If they don't have him there, it's going to be a real disaster, considering that the Patriots, although they only allow the 16th most passing yards per game at 241, they actually have the second most total sacks in the NFL this season, 49. So the Patriots defense, a little bit of a bend, don't break, but very aggressive at getting to the quarterback. If Alex Smith is not decisive, I can see a couple of those sacks starting to pile up, putting them in down and distance situations, which will be a problem for them since they are kind of built as a ground game team. And the second problem being Spencer Ware, although he had a nice game last week against the Texans, 67 yards and a touchdown, outperforming Chicandrick West, suffered an ankle sprain and hasn't practiced this week as well. So with Ware out, he's the bigger back. I think that's going to be that they're going to need him there. They're going to have to get that going in order to have any success against New England. I think you're right about Alex Smith and about really taking his shots. I think that's impossible if they don't get Macklin out there. And I think Travis Kelce is just going to have to step up big and be that guy. It's going to be tough for them to get anything going otherwise. The other interesting thing about this is that the Chiefs actually are tied for the most total rushing touchdowns. Now, without Ware, that's going to be a problem because he was responsible for a huge chunk of those. And that will really change the dynamic of their game. The other aspect of it, now turning to the Patriots, you know, the problem here is that there's really no weakness in the Chiefs' defense, but the Patriots' offense is actually quite good all the way around. I mean, it might be misleading because you look at the Patriots' run game and you say, well, they actually have the third least rushing yards per game in the NFL, but they still have 14 rushing touchdowns this year, which is 11th best in the NFL, and they are the only team not to have lost a single fumble while rushing the ball this year. So clearly that's going to be a difference maker. I don't think Steven Jackson is going to be something they can rely on, but quite frankly, Belichick can make any running back good in the playoffs. So I suspect that we'll see a lot of Tom Brady matching up with the Chiefs defense. Again, tied for the first total number of passing TDs in the NFL and the least number of INTs, 7. So the Chiefs defense are going to have to get lucky if they're going to want to win this game. But ultimately, I think it's going to be a tough uphill battle for them. So your prediction for the Kansas City Chiefs at New England Patriots?
Yeah, I'm taking the Pats in a pretty secure win, mainly because I think that they answer when they've been struggling. This is one of those statement type games. And then I just think that I don't think the Chiefs are going to make enough big plays. And I think the Pats are going to be able to do some, get up on them early. And I think the Pats are going to score a defensive touchdown in this game. So I got them like 30.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty big spread. I think the Pats will win as well. I actually think it will be a little, if they get Macklin and Ware on the field, I think it will be a little closer. They might not cover the spread of 5, but I think it'll probably be within a score or a score and a half. I don't think it'll be as big a divide as that, but I think the Patriots will safely win this game. Moving on to the next game, which is Green Bay Packers at Arizona Cardinals. That's going to be 8:15 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday. Arizona favored by 7 here. Last time the Cardinals met the Packers, it was Week 16, where the Cardinals routed the Packers 38-8. Reportedly, the Cardinals only had to implement 40% of their playbook that week to take care of the Pack, so they have plenty left that the Packers can't plan for. But Rodgers has looked much improved, at least over the last three quarters of that wild card showdown against the Redskins. Might be a different team. What are your thoughts on the Packers and the Cardinals, Ryan?
Yeah, so I'm gonna flip the script from last week, and I'm actually gonna pick the I'm gonna say that I like the Packers this week. I think I saw an inspired team last week that got down in that game. I think a lot of people chopped it up to the Redskins weren't as good as we thought they were. I think that the Redskins let them hang around a little bit, and the Packers started to get a little embarrassed, particularly on defense. I thought, they played a really good game, and they started to get their offensive line problems figured out. And, I'm just one of these people that, I believe, especially this time of year, I believe in intangibles more than anything, especially when you got the final 8 teams. All these teams have strengths, these teams have weaknesses, and I don't think it comes down to the matchups as much as it comes down to, in 2012, I think that Ray Lewis – announcing his retirement and really, knowing it was going to be him and Ed Reed's last ride, I think that spurred that team. And So I don't know how far I'm going to take it, Wiz, but I think right now they're playing. They at least played an inspired three quarters of that game. And on top of that, Carson Palmer's another guy that, you know, I got to see it to believe it finally. So has he had a great season? Absolutely. But I need to see it when it counts. And, you know, an injury that's been really overlooked is Tyrann Mathieu going out. He has been he gives that defense an identity. He gives that – I mean, he's one of the, you know, leading tacklers on that squad this year. He's a gnat. He's aggressive. He brings snarl to it. And especially in the secondary, you need that kind of – that swagger. So it'll be interesting to see what the Cardinals can do on the big stage and if that defense can slow down. But if Aaron Rodgers is playing with a chip on his shoulder, like a man on a mission, you know, it's hard to bet against him.
Yeah, no, I can see where you're coming from, but I'm kind of leaning in the other direction. I mean, certainly the Packers are looking like they're the Packers of old. They've really kind of revitalized over the last three. I mean, it was this Aaron Rodgers that I am used to hating is what I saw on that sideline. The smirking Aaron Rodgers who knew that every time he got the ball, he was going to score. There was just no two ways about it. He was going to get it down there, and they were going to score. And they did that five times in a row at the end of the game. And if that Rodgers rolls in to play against Arizona this week, it'll be tough. But Arizona does not have many weaknesses. And I agree, Tyrann Mathieu was an important part of their defense. But they, on defense, they allowed the seventh least passing yards. Now, admittedly, no Tyrann Mathieu. That might change a little bit. They had the fourth most interceptions this year. They've allowed the sixth least rushing yards this year. They really are pretty solid all the way around on defense. And on offense, I mean, Carson Palmer has been fantastic, absolutely fantastic. Third most passing TDs in NFL, most yards per attempt, second most passing yards per game. I mean, he's really just killed it. Now, he came out flat against the Seahawks. Could be, if that happens again, this is going to be done. I think the real kind of X card or X person here, X factor, so to speak, David Johnson. I think if he hits a stride early and often, Arizona has the eighth most rushing yards per game in the NFL this year. If he can continue that and give a little bit of an outlet there, you know, Green Bay hasn't been terrific on defense. And has not been terrific on defense concerning the run. David Johnson could be the big difference there. So your prediction on the Green Bay Packers and Cardinals?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Packers in a shootout similar to last night's national title game.
Don't remind me about that national title game. I cannot stand the fact that Alabama has won four of the last seven title games. That just completely irks me. You know, if I don't see Nick Saban again, it'll be too soon.
Well, while producing about four legitimate pros in that, as I said, while producing about four legitimate pros in that run. So, nice.
I know, and I hear. Oh, geez. Yeah. I know.
But I think we're both.
Yeah,
so
Eddie Lacy. yeah. That's true.
But I think the Packers win. I think Rodgers comes to play, and I think Devontae Adams continues to kind of pull his weight in the playoffs and, you know, kind of progress here as a player.
Yeah, and that's another thing to look out for. Devontae Adams did get an MCL sprain from the last game, so it's still kind of a 50-50 on whether he'll play this week or not. I think you're right. If he does play, this will help Aaron Rodgers dramatically. That was probably one of his best games of the season, Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. And Randall Cobb, using him in the backfield was a great idea. That versatility in the backfield, you know, ground and pound of Eddie Lacy and James Starks, get him tired. Then Randall Cobb with all the athleticism he brings to the backfield there, get the ball in his hands. He tired out that Washington defense. If they do that again, I think they have a good chance. I'm still going with the Cardinals here. I think the Cardinals will win this game. They're just too well-rounded, and they have time to game plan for this. I don't think they come out flat again like they did against Seattle. But that will be a close game. It will definitely be a close game. All right, Seattle Seahawks at Carolina Panthers, 1:05 p.m. Eastern time Sunday. Carolina favored by 3. Tell us your thoughts on that game, Ryan.
The X factor is going to be Cam Newton. Can he create against, you know, he's created all year, arguably with pretty much nothing to create with. Can he create in this, you know, against one of the best defenses in the last 10 years? So it'll be interesting to see. And I think on the other side, it's gonna be a big Russell Wilson game. I think the elements played into what they did this weekend. on the field, but I think this is a game meant for Russell Wilson. I think he's gonna have to run a little bit more, and then he's gonna have to be better passing. So, at the end of the day, I think we all know both these defenses are great. It's gonna be which quarterback kind of elevates, in this game here. And you gotta see if Ted Ginn Jr. is gonna be able to get, even though he's got big play capability, can he get behind this? This defense, and is Devin Funchess going to, be an X factor in this game too for Carolina? Because I think Olsen will have his plays, but I think Seattle's going to key on him. And as long as they don't cover him with Cam Chancellor, they should be all set, trying to take him out of the game. So what can these secondary guys do from the receiving core for Carolina is going to be huge.
Right. Yeah, what's interesting to me is that last week Marshawn Lynch was trending in the right direction. Apparently, Pete Carroll said he was, quote, ready to rock. But suddenly on Friday, Lynch apparently ruled himself out of the game and didn't get on the bus. So, I don't know what's happening there. I think Lynch getting on the field will be a big boost for them. But and I know how you feel about running backs, so they don't really matter. But I think that will add another dimension to the game, because Christian Michael was okay, but he's no Marshawn Lynch. Russell Wilson, honestly, he played one. I'm sorry?
I said, how did AP look in the fourth quarter for the Minnesota Vikings? He have a real nice impact.
He was
on
the reason.
Game.
AP.
Yeah, that's my boy.
He definitely impacted the game in the wrong way, obviously. Russell Wilson, honestly, he played one quarter of quality football last week against the Vikings. I think the Carolina's pass defense is way better than Minnesota's pass defense. But I agree. The X factor here is Cam Newton. If you look at the stats, Panthers' second most rushing yards per game in NFL, tied for the most total rushing touchdowns in NFL 19. Cam Newton had 636 total rush yards this year, good for the best among quarterbacks. 10 rushing TDs, tied for the fifth most among all NFL players. Only D'Angelo Williams, Adrian Peterson, Jeremy Hill, and Devontae Freeman had more rushing touchdowns than Cam Newton. I think that he is absolutely the X factor. The other X factor, of course, is which defense will play better. Seattle has the more steady defense as far as limiting yards, but Panthers' defense has been so dynamic. They actually have the most total interceptions this year, 24. I think that's going to be a big deal, because ultimately the team that has the highest takeaway-giveaway ratio differential in the NFL, the Carolina Panthers, they're plus 20 on the year. No one's even close to that. If Carolina's defense comes out like that, it almost doesn't matter what Russell Wilson does. I don't think he's going to be able to get away from it. Low-scoring game, but I think it's going to be close. But what are your thoughts on the winner?
Yeah, I'm taking a rematch of last year. Seattle's going to go in there. You can't bet against a team that's been there back-to-back years and playing as hot as they are right now. So I got them winning a relatively low-scoring game.
You got Seattle winning.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to go the other direction. I'm going to Carolina on this one. I think it will be a very low-scoring game. They might not even cover the 3-point spread, but I think Carolina finds a way to win this at home. Pittsburgh Steelers at Denver Broncos, 4:40 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday. Denver favored by 6.5. Your thoughts on the Steelers at the Broncos?
First and foremost, health of the Steelers. Now, I think that everyone will play, because I think everyone should play at this time of year. If your limbs aren't falling off, you get out there. We all know the concussion protocol is a joke anyways, especially at this time of year. So I fully expect, Antonio Brown to be out there. And I don't expect Roethlisberger to be at 100%, but I expect him to be out there. And as long as he still has enough arm strength to exploit, the third corner matchup with Marcus Wheaton, I like their the way that the offense is playing. Martavis Bryant's catch the other night was unreal. So that's a guy who answered the call last week.
Amazing.
Burger. And, the Steelers' defense continues to play pretty decently. Despite being underrated and called a mediocre defense all year, we've talked about them a couple times. They're more than serviceable. On the other side, it is time for the playoff hamstring injury for Aqib Talib. So, I'll be on the lookout for that.
right.
I know Ware has been back at practice, but we'll see what he looks like. And then, you know, there's a saying on a talk show that we've had going around here in Boston, that even if Manning's foot, you know, his quad and everything else is healed, the one biggest thing you have to worry about Manning injury-wise is his sphincter tightening up again in another big spot. So, I can't believe they went back to him. People say, well, you know, it's the Hall of Famer. He gives you the better chance to win now. Osweiler is the quarterback of the future, but Manning's the better chance now. Well, look at Peyton Manning's playoff record and tell me if you really think that that's your best chance to win a Super Bowl. So, ceiling's higher with Manning, but the floor is also a lot lower. So we'll be interesting to see. And if he does struggle, do they for the second straight game, you know, pull a sub at quarterback, which would be, you know, now you're at the risk of playing musical chairs too much with your quarterbacks. And, things get interesting at that point. So I think that's going to be probably the most important stuff to watch for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree that the biggest problem with the Pittsburgh Steelers is health. I mean, I don't think – it's unclear whether D'Angelo Williams is coming back. He had an MRI last Monday, not this Monday, and there was no damage uncovered, but he didn't play against the Bengals, and now he's going to see a foot specialist, Dr. Robert Anderson, and that's never good news. So we're probably going to see more Fitzgerald Toussaint and Jordan Todman, who were okay. They were, you know, decent, but they certainly weren't D'Angelo Williams. Big Ben, you know, the shoulder injury, it's in his throwing arm. He did come back for that final drive, later said that he was in excruciating pain during the entire drive. But Big Ben is Big Ben. He'll play through pain. I mean, he's one of the toughest guys in the NFL, so I suspect he'll be back on. Antonio Bryant, I'm a little bit more concerned about. I don't know what his status is. I mean, people say that he was actually in good spirits afterwards, joking with teammates. But concussions are funny. You know, they can come back and hit you a couple days later, and they may be out of your control. If he ends up being dizzy or something, he won't be able to, you know, quote-unquote, he won't be able to muscle through that, so to speak, and that could really impact them. Without Antonio Brown, I think they have no chance. I really do. I think with Antonio Brown, they have a shot. Without him, they really have no chance. And on the Denver side, you know, Brock Osweiler, he's fine. I think of him as Mr. Even Steven. You know, he's been great in first half of games, but the equal amount of bad in the second half of games. They decided to go back to an old injured Peyton Manning. They thought that was better than getting the production or getting an Osweiler. But I think the other problem is that Osweiler had an MCL strain. So he's practicing now, but he's not 100%. So now you're talking about two injured quarterbacks, and I guess they go to the veteran. I think that their offense is terrible anyway. There's nothing good to say about the Denver offense, and honestly, they have the most interceptions in the league, and that's due to both Osweiler and Peyton Manning. So they're terrible on offense. It's going to be entirely on their defense. If their defense doesn't hold, then they're going to have problems. Their defense did allow the least number of passing yards per game this year, and the least yards per attempt, and they had the most total sacks this year. They also allowed the third least rushing yards per game this year. And had the least rushing yards per attempt this year. They're fantastic on defense, but if it doesn't show up or if Aqib Talib has a hamstring pull, that may be a problem. So tell me, what are your thoughts? Who's going to win again, the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Denver Broncos?
Yeah, Pittsburgh should start packing their bags for Foxborough for 2 weeks from now because they're going to go in.
Wow.
Mr. One and Done is going to do it again, and I got the Steelers winning this game. And I'm thinking right when it counts most, a nice pick six coming from Mr. Manning himself. And then we'll get to see my favorite part of the season, which is Manning FaceTime when he pulls the helmet up, sits it on his forehead, and sits there gawking at the crowd. So,
well, the Pittsburgh defense does have the third most total sacks in the NFL, so I wouldn't be surprised if we saw at least Manning on his back a couple times. I'm going to go the other direction. I'm going to say Denver wins, but I don't think they're going to cover the spread. I mean, the 6.5 points, I think, is too much. Pittsburgh is a better offensive team. Denver just has no offense. I think it'll be a very close game. I think Denver will be able to pull it out at home. All right, that's all the time we have for this episode. So, Ryan, give us your Twitter handle so that people can follow you.
Yep, it's at Ryan Whitfield NE.
Great, and you can follow us at FB Garbage Time. And until next week, when we'll be talking about the conference championship games, enjoy the rest of your NFL week and enjoy the divisional playoff weekend.